Hello and happy Butts in the Seats Day. Yes, on this day in 1999, Tony Schiavone uttered the phrase that wouldn't necessarily doom WCW, but wasn't the best look. But hey, it's a great name for a podcast. For this Butts in the Seats Day, we figured we'd give you a little Patreon preview of a different January 4th episode, the January 4th, 2010 TNA Impact, aka Time for a Change, aka Let's Test the Waters on this Monday Night War and see if it'll work, aka Hogan's First Impact. There's so much going on. So we're giving you one episode for free on this high holiday. If you want to listen to the rest, $5 a month over at patreon.com/buttsintheseats. Plus, we got like 20 other bonus episodes over there. Go take a peek. But without further ado, welcome to TNA's new Monday Night Wars.
Welcome back to the Seats in the Butts podcast.
What if it's their first time here?
Then welcome to the Seats in the Butts podcast. Welcome to our Patreon spinoff podcast, the Seats in the Butts. And today we are starting something very fun and new and different.
I'm petitioning for this to be called Butts in the Impact Zone, but Emily said no.
We already have a spinoff name for our spinoff podcast. We're not going to do a spinoff for the spinoff of the spinoff.
But everything on here is Seats in the Butts somehow.
Yeah, because that's what the Patreon is. Shut up. You're overthinking it. But in case you missed the announcement on our main feed episode.
And didn't look at the name of this file.
Yeah, if you just are auto-playing. We're going to the Impact Zone, brother!
Going down to Orlando.
So we're starting this run of the podcast with TNA in 2010.
Yes, the new Monday Night Wars.
Yes. See, I was under the impression that this was going to be a lot different from our main podcast. Turns out this is the perfect sister podcast to what we're doing on Butts in the Seats.
Yeah, I didn't even realize how much. It's actually more than you know, by the way.
It's jarring.
Yeah, so Emily, just remind everybody, why are we doing TNA?
Because the vibes were bad when I was picking shows based on vibes.
So now
Stop making me bury myself with this explanation.
So now it's going to be half vibes, half TNA.
Yes. But... So, we're like Nick said, we're starting the new Monday Night Wars. So, we're starting in January of 2010.
And then we're skipping ahead.
And we're skipping around.
Skipping ahead after this, because this is very much a, like, pilot. I guess for both accounts.
Yeah.
This is a test pilot for them going to Mondays. And admittedly, this is a bit of a test pilot for us doing this era of TNA.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes on all fronts. At this point, we have it planned that we're going to continue with this, but if... we get horrible feedback or we decide we hate this, then we won't do it.
Worst case scenario, we'll find other TNA stuff to do.
Yeah.
We paid for a year of that network, which we got very concerned about this show because on TNA Plus, this show is only an hour and a half.
But commentary kept calling it a 3-hour spectacle.
Yes.
So I was like, there's a lot of commercials for this to be cut down to an hour and a half.
And... all the entrances are cut. There's backstage promos cut. So I got very concerned that we just wasted... We bought the year-long membership to the point where I should have looked into the other episodes first, but I went onto the TNA site, and it was like, send an email to this with any concerns. And I'm like, I'd like to cancel. You've like chopped these up to where we can't review them. And then I realized it was just the one. And when I went to go be like, oh, crap, I want to like unsend that email... I realized that the email bounced back because the support email that TNA had set up is still for Impact Wrestling and not for TNA, because this is coming out 2 days after the first TNA show again.
Right. So it's no longer Impact.
Yes.
It's TNA. In 2024, we're saying.
Yeah.
It is no longer TNA. It is now Impact. Which vice versa.
It's now TNA.
Yes.
Which us doing this is entirely unrelated to that. This is a happy little accident.
Had no idea. Honestly, we were about to kick ourselves even more because we thought that WWE was about to acquire TNA. Yeah. It would have all been on Peacock. We're like, did we just waste more money?
Yeah, Triple H's special announcement that no one can figure out what it actually was unless you watch the show. And I think only like two people watched the show.
Was it on NXT?
No, it was on like a special like year preview. And I'm like, it seems to be just that like...
There's more wrestling coming in
2024. Shinsuke and like Cody Rhodes are in the Rumble or something.
Okay. We kind of knew that though.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that's not why we're here today.
No, we're here to talk about TNA and aka WCW 2.0.
So Nick kind of sold this to me as it's a mix of WCW and ECW. With some WWE thrown in.
Yeah. And the ECW stuff is very much just like, it's a small kind of loyal crowd. And every now and again, they'll break out the weapon kind of stuff. But
can you explain to me more what the Impact Zone is?
The Impact Zone is a soundstage in Universal Studios Orlando.
And this is where they do all of their impacts and their pay-per-views?
Yes.
And it can only hold what?
It only holds 1,100 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like said, that's tiny.
Yeah, think about any, like, you know, show we've been to at, like, Disney World or Universal. It's just one of those stages.
Do they sell tickets to the Impact, or is it just, like, if you're on Universal, you can come see the show?
I think it's been a mix over the years.
Okay. Because I remember WCW did something like that, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know enough about the actual system to know whether or not it was, like, a... Like, did you have to, like, have a theme park pass to get in, or could you just, like, was it a separate thing? I legitimately don't know.
In 2010, if I remember correctly, was prior to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Universal Studios. So there was a lot of empty space that was being built up. Are they still there in 24?
No.
So I'm wondering if in 2012 or 2011, whenever that opened, I wonder if they got kicked out.
So, Emily, what did you know about TNA coming in?
Admittedly, not a lot. I knew that a lot of... I know that a lot of people from WWE jumped ship to TNA or from WCW went to TNA. I know Jeff Jarrett had a huge hand into TNA.
Jumped ship is relative. It was usually someone has been released by WWE and then they go. It's not... Yes. I want my releases, I want to go to the other company kind of thing. Or like contract expiration, like I'm just waiting. It's usually...
This is like a consolation, kinda.
I think like Christian is the one person I can think of who like actively was like, no, I want to go over there.
Oh.
And I think Christian might already be back in WWE.
So he's already completed his TNA run?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, I know that it's kind of like where WWE talent goes after WWE.
Yeah.
Or WCW talent goes if they don't want to go to WWE.
Or if they can't go to WWE.
I don't know. I'm thinking like Sting. I'm thinking AJ Styles. Like,
yeah, that's two very different tiers.
Yes,
of,
no, I agree. But people that we know were in WCW and didn't go immediately to WWE.
So there's a large plethora of people from WCW that we're seeing on our main line. That are in this show.
Yeah, which is, it's bonkers.
One
There's
of which
so many.
That I forgot. Do you know who Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff are working with behind the scenes?
Dixie Carter.
Mr. Vince Russo is also working on this show.
Of course he is. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Of course he's here. Of course he's here.
He's restrained, it seems like. Well, a little bit. We'll get some of...
We'll find out.
You know, some segments make a little more sense now that I know Vince Russo is writing them.
Yeah.
The poker segments come to mind.
Yes, but they didn't fully bury all of the women on the show, so there's at least that. Anyway.
And so this show got announced that, like, all right, on January 4th, we're doing a test run. It's going to be a 3-hour, you know, extravaganza, because Raw's only 2 hours still at this point. So the Impact's going 8 to 11. Raw's only on 9 to 11.
Hot take. 3 hours is too long for a wrestling show.
That's not a hot take. You know.
It seems to be because Raw is still 3 hours every day on Monday.
Do you know what WWE did to counter-program this show?
Extended Raw?
No. I think they did the first hour commercial-free. I could be wrong about that. But the big hook for the episode was after 13 years, Bret Hart was returning to WWE.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
That's a hell of a hook.
Shame how that all led up to one of the worst WrestleMania matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, but Bret Hart, he's never done a bad match.
So if you're wondering why Hulk Hogan doesn't show up until the second hour, that are literally waiting until he's up against Raw.
Does Bret Hart come out in the first hour of Raw?
He opens the show and closes the show as well.
So they're waiting for him to not be on screen.
He confronts... No. They want to go head-to-head. They want you to watch them and not Bret Hart.
I feel like it would make more sense to kind of like tandem your programming. Like, know that everyone's going to watch Bret Hart's entrance. And then when he's done, they'll be like, okay, I don't care anymore.
Well, we don't want anyone to change the channel at all.
Well, too fucking bad. Yeah. That's how it works when you're going head-to-head.
Yeah, so in the first segment, Bret Hart confronts Shawn Michaels. And in the last segment, he confronts Vince McMahon.
You know what I've always wondered? You know how you can do picture-in-picture? Does that count as a viewer for both programs?
Who the hell? That's all
I
relative.
I wonder, because like, if you did picture-in-picture with Raw and Impact, like, would it be a rating for both?
But speaking of the ratings, I guess that is the key thing of did this show work before we even get into any of the actual show. This show did do a 1.5 to Raw's 3.6. TNA was normally doing around a 1 or a 1.1. So the ratings are up a little bit.
Okay.
Admittedly, when they come back to Monday nights, they don't break a 1.
Oh, shit.
So.
See, that's wild because now I feel like anything above a 1 is like a success for network television because streaming is such a big thing. But in 2010, streaming was not a thing.
Just wrestling's not as popular.
That's wild.
Yeah, Raw had 5.6 million viewers while Impact averaged 2.2.
Okay. I also always wonder how wrestling programming fared during the writer's strike in 2008. Did it do better because there was less to watch?
I don't know. Yeah. Wrestling wasn't great.
No, I know. But because it was just like a desperation of like, we have nothing else on TV. Let's watch this pile of garbage. I've always wondered. I don't know.
So, Emily, you want to get into the actual show?
We might as well.
Our surprise 3-hour show.
Yeah, surprise.
This happens too much to us.
So Nick sold us viewing or watching this the other night as like, it's only an hour and a half. Like, we can power through. Like, it'll be easy viewing. We'll still have time to do other things tonight to watch it. Because I sometimes need a little bit of a push. Not that I don't enjoy watching this programming. It's just like getting started, you know? Like, getting sat down with the notes and getting things started. So he's like, it's just an hour and a half. It'll be fine. And then when they said 3-hour spectacle, I looked at him. I was like, what did you fucking sign me up for?
In and out, 20-minute adventure.
But yeah, let's get into it because honestly, this wasn't that bad. Shocking.
It's the January 4th, 2010 Impact, aka Time for a Change.
Yes, all of these episodes have titles.
How do you feel about that?
I like it.
We start with the history. We start with a history of TNA video package.
So they're going into their 8th year of programming.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
We see Ken Shamrock and some terrible sideburns winning the first title.
Oh, Ken.
Sting showing up, Kurt Angle debut, and it's a new era tonight because Hulk Hogan is here. What you gonna do when TNA runs wild on you? It was very unclear how much Eric Bischoff was actually advertised.
It didn't seem like he was advertised at all until a certain someone just kind of spilled it.
Yeah.
We'll get to that, but like, bro, I have a lot of thoughts about that whole thing as well.
Get the opening pyro. It's the professor, Mike Tenay, and Taz on commentary.
It did take me a while to figure out who these two were, because like we said, we watched the like choppy version of this before we found a like actual 3-hour version.
Shout out to the Internet Archive.
Woo! I couldn't place their voices, because I was like, these are such familiar voices. I know these people, but who is this?
So they hype up Hulk Hogan, and it's a live 3-hour special. And let's get to the card rundown, sponsored by 5-Hour Energy.
Oh, okay. That's how you know it's 2010, because we're lauding 5-Hour Energy. You know who has... No one enjoys 5-Hour Energy. No one buys a 5-Hour Energy to sip on and just be like, ooh, tasty. No, you buy that if you are at the like end of your rope and need to get home.
I remember you having the Oakerland. You've had the one Slim Jim. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should have made you drink a 5-Hour Energy on this.
I can't do... I used to have a job where I would be working like multiple tens of hours a day. And I would be driving home at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on zero sleep, zero food, zero energy. And I would keep 5-Hour Energies in my glove compartment just to chug before I drive so I don't fall asleep at the wheel. That's what I associate 5-Hour Energy with now. And I can't do it again.
So the official drink of this podcast right now seems to be a crap ton of vodka, 5-Hour Energy with a garnish of a Slim Jim stick.
Ew. God, I love Slim Jim, and that was the worst Slim Jim I've ever had. I love Slim Jim. I buy it all the time at work. People look at me weird.
So on tonight's card, we have a 8-man Steel Asylum match, a Knockouts title match. We're going to get Rhino versus Abyss and a Barbed Wire Massacre. Beer Money versus the British Invasion.
Was there barbed wire in that match?
Two of these matches don't happen.
I was going to... Yeah, I don't remember that.
No, yeah. Two of these matches do not happen.
Wait a second.
And they hype up that Bubba the Love Sponge has joined the team. And I just... Anytime Hulk Hogan and Bubba Love Sponge are linked together, I'm just like... I just have sirens going off. Like, oh no.
I'm not a fan of Bubba the Love Sponge.
All right. Would you rather have him or Man Cow?
I think Man Cow.
I think I'm with you.
Because Bubba the Love Sponge will just come up to people who have been decimated backstage and just put a mic in their face, like, hey, Bubba Lunch Bunch here. Like, it's not the time or place, man.
So earlier today, Bubba was interviewing fans. They don't want this kiddie bullshit.
Oh my God. They were all citing, like, Vince McMahon, you don't know what's coming for you. Like, that was the line they were fed.
Yeah, some lady wants to see the sexy wrestlers. And in our very cringy moment of Bubba Love Sponge, what could we do for hot 21-year-olds like yourself for you to keep watching, like, Bubba?
Bubba. And I think she even said, like, just give me good wrestling. I don't know. Yeah.
But basically, a bunch of marks for TNA get interviewed.
More than one of them said, Vince McMahon, you don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
Like, that was a fed line. Producers put that in your ear. Like, say this.
Like, they're going to Vince McMahon the same way Jarrett and Russo were Jim Ross.
Yeah. It was kind of it was unnecessary. It was unprovoked.
So let's go into our first match. It is the 8-man Steel Asylum match. It's an X Division match, but not for the X Division title, apparently. It's Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, the Motor City Machine Guns, Homicide and Kiyoshi. I forgot to mark their team name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jay Lethal, a.k.a. Black Machismo, and Consequences Creed, a.k.a. Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods!
That team name is Lethal Consequences.
I love Xavier Woods.
Versus Suicide versus Amazing Red.
Amazing Red, like, he's the only one that we saw their main entrance for in the choppy version. I thought they were trying to push that guy.
He's the champion.
Is he?
Yeah.
He was kind of a nothing burger.
So, I need to tell you about Suicide.
Okay.
I'm realizing if we say his name too much, I wonder, is, like, the algorithm going to, like, flag this podcast and be like...
Should we do what TikTok does and call him Unalive?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
So, Unalive... is a character from the TNA video game.
The video game?
The video game. He was the original character for that, and then he just showed up on TV, and they never explained it.
Oh.
He's played by, like, a bunch of different wrestlers.
Is he, like, an NPC in the video game?
And no, you can
just,
play,
like,
him.
Made him real? Why? Then why is he...
It was just an original creation for the video game.
Weird.
Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, apparently a bunch of different people have played him over the years, to the point where it actually apparently became a joke with wrestlers. Because I remember I was talking to somebody at one of the Ring of Honor shows, and they're like, yeah, you just bring me in for that. Just put me under the mask. No one will know it's me.
Oh, shit.
So I'm wondering who's done that over the years.
I wonder.
If people just joke about doing that. I'm like, oh.
Well, don't they do that with Doink the Clown, too?
But, yeah, Doink, I don't think it's people sneaking in, because you can at least see their actual face.
Oh, that's fair.
Mike today explains the X Division rules, and I feel like this is very much up your alley.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not, it's just one of those, like, it doesn't matter how heavy you are. It's not about weight
Can
limits.
Can you get
it's
on
about
the top
no
rope
limits.
And flip? Cool, you're in the X Division.
Beginning of the match, Mike today notes that Mick Foley was denied entry to tonight's show.
First of all, how dare you?
We see that this is a very wobbly cage, because it's not really secured at all.
It's not a cage.
It's just
six
walls.
Panels.
Yeah. And a roof.
Yeah.
But,
over a hexagonal ring, which we did not mention.
Yes.
This ring has six sides.
We have two shows left in TNA of a six-sided ring.
I have a lot of questions about that.
You know what? We can talk about it now if you want.
So I like the six-sided ring idea because it gives something different. It's its own draw, you know? Like, UFC is the octagon. WWE has the four sides. This is something that's its own thing. So why would they get rid of it?
So, the fans had that same question, because I did watch the next Impact and Genesis, just for additional context. Genesis opens with a four-sided ring, Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff come out to the ring, and the fans chant, "We want six sides," and I have the exact quote, "You know, I got one thing to say about six sides, you had it, and it only got you so far, and now we're taking you all the way, Jack."
That doesn't make any sense.
No more playpen rings.
Playpen rings.
Yep. And in that same promo, he's like, the competition won't say wrestling. They say sports entertainment about a dozen times in this show.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Six sides only got you so far. They were doing fine. And well, no. You don't have a... Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan, and Vince Russo don't have a reputation of coming into a promotion and making it better.
Well, Russo's been here on and off for a while.
Okay. But they don't have that reputation of come in and fix everything. It's usually come in and things get worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Bischoff and Hogan started by making things better.
Yeah, but then they went too fucking far. Yeah.
So a match starts, gets some very quick action as Alex Shelley starts climbing. The way this is shot is really hard to follow, admittedly.
And the goal of this match is to climb to the top of the enclosure, I guess.
Yeah.
Through a hole in the top and then pop out.
And it's like, it's rounded at the top. It's like a half sphere. Kinda. So climbing it is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Which will come up later. Lethal stops Shelley as the cameras just don't know where to focus. They're jumping all over the place. Unalive tries to climb, but is stopped by Amazing Red. Red is thrown off the top into a Hurricane Rana in a nice little spot.
That was cool.
Homicide just turns on his partner and breaks out a riot baton. And then they call for the bell. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that... It made no sense. Because cage matches are generally no DQ.
Yeah.
I don't they entirely are, know what happened here.
I'd
to make
say
the
they
ring.
Always are no DQ, but...
You can't say always anymore.
Yeah, I've watched Seth Rollins versus The Fiend.
Yeah, that kind of ruined it. Oh, and that one was Red, too. Ugh, what a curse.
And the year before that, where Brock comes in, beats up Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, and then he's like, oh, well, they're out.
But that wasn't a red cage, though.
It was.
Was it red?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, the other one also had red lighting, is what you're thinking
of.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of the red lighting.
No, but they're both big red Hell in a Cells.
Oh, okay.
So they announce this match is a no contest. And crazy thing is that we can actually hear the ring announcers in this program.
Yes.
So Homicide starts to climb, and he takes so long, and then he falls. So then everybody starts climbing?
Yeah.
I don't really know why. And then we get some hideous music hitting.
Awful music.
And
unbearable music.
Emily, who's here in the Impact Zone?
It's Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Making his Impact debut.
Ugh, it's bad look for Jeff, too. Mm. Just like... near a pixie cut with like a big blonde tuff.
Yeah, he's not looking his best.
No.
In any way.
Yeah, he's, I know he has a rough 2011 and I can't imagine that came out of nowhere.
Right.
Jeff Hardy and Homicide brawl up the ramp until Jeff hits a chair shot to the face of Homicide and then a twist of fate.
The twist of fate was kind of cool.
Jeff climbs the cage and sits at the very top.
You kind of pointed out that you thought this spot, that chair and Twist of Fate was supposed to happen on the top of the cage.
I think he was going to climb it and then like throw Homicide down onto everybody.
Oh.
I'm guessing that's what the original spot was, because the fact that he just kind of climbs it and Homicide was supposed to be at the top for something.
Yeah.
I'm wondering. But
maybe.
I think even if they had done that, it's not like it's solid up there. So I don't know how their footing would have worked until kind of brawling
true.
Up there.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So yeah, Jeff Hardy, the newest of many signings to TNA.
Oh my god, yeah, tonight's full of them.
We talked about this a little bit on some of our other shows. I've never really liked Jeff Hardy.
No, you weren't into the Hardy Boys, really.
I like Matt more, but...
How do you feel about them as a tag?
I did confirm that it took them until, like, 2014 to have a decent regular tag team match on pay-per-view.
But their involvement in the tables, ladders, and chairs.
Oh yeah,
they
do great in the gimmick ones, and I'm just like kind of makes
really
you think
write
about
them
a little
for
bit.
That.
Yeah. Post commercial, we see him and Shannon Moore backstage, who I guess is also making his debut because they both
can't tell.
They both get contracts later, so
they don't really say that it's Shannon Moore's debut, but he just kind of shows up with Jeff, and it doesn't seem like he was there before. So I guess.
And he is holding a contract later.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I missed that. So yeah, now Shannon Moore is here too. Another guy from our past. First member of Three Count cited.
Oh, I don't think Evan Curry just comes over. I wouldn't shock me if Shane Helms is here at some point.
Yeah.
For like a cup of coffee. Hulk Hogan's limo is on the way, and apparently we're going to see him every step of the way, as in like two more times.
Yeah. He'll be here soon, shortly.
And... Which would imply that he's not been here yet.
Correct.
Remember that.
Correct. This is his first time to the Impact Zone, especially today.
We then get six-figure Christy Hemme interviewing Kevin Nash.
Six-figure?
She's, to my knowledge, she was making six figures in TNA.
Wow.
The other women were not.
Okay. Good for you, girl. Get that money.
Nash very sleepily cuts a promo here.
Oh my God. Kevin Nash could not care less that he is here.
And he literally is like, I'm so excited.
Yeah, Hogan's here.
Hogan's here.
Cool.
It's going to bring in more money. And that means I get paid more. I think I'm almost slipping into Scott Hall by accident.
A little bit, but you're not, your inflection's not far off. I mean, he's so unenthused.
Like,
he's
very
talking,
hands in the pockets.
Yeah. He's just like, ugh, I guess I have to fucking talk.
Looking forward to seeing an old friend. You know, people say I'm the smartest man in wrestling. Rightfully so. Or I think it was that, or I am. But
it's very Kevin Nash being like, oh, okay, so he brings in more money, I get money, yeah. Cool.
He says he learned from Hulk, you know, the ways of the business, and he's going to make more money than ever. He's like, Hulk's on his way.
And he's not alone.
Implying that Eric Bischoff was not announced for this show.
Right, or like someone.
Let's go to our second match. It's for the Knockouts title. It's Tara, no last name, versus ODB. And Emily, what does ODB stand for?
One dirty bitch.
And is she?
I like her character.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
I don't
great.
Know that I would call her dirty, but... So the Knockouts title, is that the women's title?
Yes.
Because women are Knockouts?
Yeah, so it's the Divas in WWE and it's the Knockouts in TNA.
I like the Knockouts better. That's a better word.
Yeah.
I like that a lot more.
Oh.
It also gives them a little bit more, I don't know, notoriety?
Apparently, in the dying days of WCW, Vince Russo and Jeremy Borash pitched a women's wrestling show, and they have like a whole bunch of different character archetypes, which are horrendous. But apparently, they wanted the show to be called Bitch Slap.
Yeah, that sounds right. That doesn't surprise me at all, unfortunately.
Homeless Heather is the she-god of
Homeless
the shelter.
Homeless Heather? They had a character called Homeless Heather?
Oh, this never
Heather?
Got off the ground, Emily.
The fact that that got written on paper, though.
Toxic Shock, Homeless Heather.
Oh, my
Kentucky,
God.
Kentucky Love with Papa Woody.
Yikes.
The Ass Pirates.
Yikes.
Birdie Hole for One.
What the fuck? Wait, what? Birdie Hole for One? That's two different golf terms that don't have anything to do with each other.
Beastie Alley with her little dog Scroat.
Ew.
Moose Knuckle and Camel Toe.
Good Lord.
Oh no. MSP, Missing Body Parts, which is the tag team of Stumpy and Gimpy.
Jesus.
Nurse Hershey with Dr. Proctor. Get it? Poop?
Yeah, no, I got it.
Grandma Gas. She's a stunt
any,
granny.
Any relation to Pete Gas?
I hope not.
Good fucking Lord.
It's neither here nor there on any of that.
You're telling me that was a Vince Russo creation?
Yeah.
Shocker. God, I hate that man.
And in case you don't know, Tara is the former Victoria and the former head of the Hoes Union.
Okay.
She was one of the Godfather's hoes that was like, unionized.
Oh, love that. That's great.
You know, actually, like, that might explain why she loses this match and Hogan's first night here. No unions, brother.
So it should be said, this is a women's match, yes. A one-on-one women's match in 2010. Expectations are incredibly low. You see two women who are like busty and, you know, living up to their gimmick, whatever. You think this is going to be a 3-minute squash match that might involve some fucking jello. I don't know. Instead, we actually get a pretty fucking good match.
Yeah. Again, Emily's not seen a lot of TNA. She's not really aware of the women's division here.
Not at all.
ODB attacks Tara before the bell, and Tara hits a running clothesline, and they trade punches. It's like, oh, punches and not slaps.
Right. Amazing. Actual, like, fighting moves.
ODB catches Tara's leg, so Tara hits an enziguri and then a standing moonsault. And in a little bit of a theme, she then locks in the tarantula to go along with her pet tarantula.
Okay, yeah, we didn't talk about the tarantula because she comes out holding like a lantern thing.
Yeah.
And it has a living tarantula inside of it.
Yes.
Very Jake the Snake kind of
esque. A little bit. Yeah.
But yeah, so she locks in the tarantula. I like the tarantula as a move. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking good move.
Yeah, the only catch of that move is you can't win with it.
No, but it's like, it's a good hold. It's a good, like, it looks, you know, tolling on the body, I guess. So it's like a wear them down move.
We had a springboard twist. We had a springboard twisting leg drop, and Tara tries for the widow's peak, but ODB rolls through, grabs the tights, and with a blurred crack, ODB wins the title.
That's how you know it is 2010. If this was in WCW in 1999, that would not have been blurred,
oh,
brother.
This is just blurred on their own network.
Oh, it wasn't blurred at the time?
No, okay. It was live at the time. They wouldn't.
Oh, true. You can't blur live.
It's really hard
real
to.
Time.
So, yeah, a new Knockouts champion, ODB.
So, Tara is mad. She's not happy about this. So, she knocks out ODB. She gets up, knocks out ODB. And then puts her tarantula on ODB's stomach.
Yeah, very safely on her clothes.
I don't really know how, like, actively...
I mean, I don't assume this is a actual dangerous...
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about tarantulas in general. Like, are they, like, aggressive?
I don't know.
I don't think that they are. I think they're venomous, but I don't think they're really aggressive unless they're, you know, prodded and poked.
So, admittedly...
They look scary, though.
We, in our second match, we get the TNA special. Someone wins, especially wins the title. The person who lost then knocks him out. Who's the real winner, brother?
The person who got the pin, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Tara does win the title back on the pay-per-view in 13 days.
I was really impressed with this match.
Yeah.
Like, shocked that we were getting a good, like, this is a no joke, good women's match.
Yeah.
Like, this would still be considered good today. And it's 3 years before women are even invented. Like, can you believe
it's 5 years.
They weren't invented until 2015?
Yeah.
I thought it was 2013. These women were so ahead of their time.
No, if anything, 2014 is the year Stephanie McMahon went, you know what? No, I'm going to pin Brie Bella at SummerSlam. Because I need the win.
But you can't. Overall, though, so far, the music has sucked.
Yeah.
No one has a good entrance theme. And that doesn't get better through the show.
Yeah. We get a limo arriving backstage. I thought this was like the Hogan limo, but
yeah.
No, it's a debuting Ric Flair.
Don't worry, there's more.
Ric Flair shakes some hands and goes directly to TNA champion AJ Styles' locker room.
Little baby AJ. He still hasn't even debuted on WCW, but I know that he comes.
I know. I think he's only there for like 3 weeks.
But when he comes, I'm going to get a big pop.
Watch him only be on Thunder. We never actually see him.
Oh, I'm so upset. Next, we get a outdoor segment of Mick Foley arriving to, like, the back lot.
Which, they did this in a clever way of...
They did.
They have Christy interviewing some random fans outside, and then she sees Mick and is like, oh, you know, basically, oh, fuck this interview, I'm going to talk to Mick.
Yeah, like, the crowd that she's interviewing changes their chance from something to Mick, Mick, Mick. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
It was actually very authentic.
So Foley says that... Foley's asked, like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to work. He says he knows he's banned from the Impact Zone, but he totally won't be a disruptive influence tonight and will be on his best behavior. But
sure.
It's still denied access to the building.
Sure. Because all he wants to do is talk to Hogan, right? That's his goal?
Yeah.
But Hogan's not even here yet, brother. This is where I noticed how in-universal we are, because his, like, going to work, his, like, entrance through the gate, it's, like, right under a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Like, there's a full-on roller coaster above him.
Mick Foley probably actually, like, loved working for TNA.
Oh, probably.
Well, it's like, oh, well, he loves the theme parks. So it's like, oh, well.
Yeah, probably.
I'm on break, go on the ride.
Go on a roller coaster real quick. Pop over, say hi to a character.
We then get Bobby Lashley and his wife Crystal coming out to the ring.
I like Crystal. I don't know why she's not still, like, in the business, because Bobby's still around.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bobby's over big, and then Crystal cuts a heel promo. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, because her promo starts with her selling Bobby's skills. Like, she wants Hogan to know that Bobby is very skilled in MMA as well as professional wrestling. So he's got a lot to offer. But then she's like, but he wants his release.
Yes.
What?
It's the biggest night in TNA. I want to leave.
Yeah.
I don't
this
know.
This doesn't make sense.
I don't know if it's intentional, but she has like kind of like the short Bob haircut. I don't know if they're going for a Rocky IV, Brigitte Nielsen, Ivan Drago kind of thing.
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know if they're going for that or not. I kind of get a little bit of that vibe, but... Because Bobby doesn't say, like, a word at any of these
Never.
Points. And
Which is okay, because he's not a good talker. He's not a good talker in 2002. He's not a good talker in 2024.
He's a better talker in 2024.
Yeah, he's not great, though. But Crystal goes on to say that professional wrestling is trash and MMA is an art. And we have better things to do. Which is why they want the release. Like, we get it. You're a heel. Jeez.
Okay, I was incorrect. That is not his wife. I thought they were married.
Oh.
They break up in April. Yeah, in my brain.
So it's not his wife, like, in character?
They had two children together, so, I mean, I can't tell if they actually got married or got divorced, but they had two kids together, so they have been together for a couple years.
Okay, that makes sense. Is Bobby Lashley married in today's time?
I don't know. I'll text him and ask him.
Okay.
Yeah, his Wikipedia page is light on that, but he was a sergeant in the U.S. Army.
Ugh, that makes sense. I'm sorry.
Can you explain to people why you just groaned? Because you kind of just groaned at like the idea of the troops. Sorry. And I don't think you were pulling a rickety cricket. I don't give a shit about the troops.
I was raised a Navy kid, and being raised in a Navy family, you're supposed to have a harbored hatred against the Army. It's a rivalry, whatever. My sister married an Army guy. It was a whole thing. Whatever. We love him. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's just jokes.
Yeah, so Lashley wants his release. He's still around for a bit.
Yeah, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon, because I'm assuming that as soon as he leaves TNA, he goes right back to WWE.
Yeah, so Lashley does leave soon, but he jumps back and forth. I guess he comes back in 2014, because he does some MMA for a while, but apparently he's gone in February. So we literally won't see him next time, but by the next time.
Oh, wow, you're right, because yeah, this is January. Oh, jeez.
So yeah, this story doesn't mean much to us now.
Well, I liked Crystal. Oh, well.
Backstage, Velvet Sky brings us into a dark room where they're going to play poker.
Follow me, Mr. Cameraman.
But I'm so bad at poker. Oh, we don't have any chips. Guess I'll have to take off my clothes. I mean, I'm more or less quoting verbatim.
You might as well be. You might as well be having the script in front of you.
I actually wrote, brings us to strip poker, like 4 minutes before they revealed it was strip poker. Because I'm like, well, clearly this is going to be...
Well, there's another wild reveal in this scene.
No, that's later.
Is it later? Oh, okay. Then I'll save it.
Well, the reveal in this scene is that you know how big poker shows are. What?
Yeah, they were like, the viewers want to watch poker. Like, was that a thing in 2010?
Admittedly, I remember at some point in time, it felt like every time I turned on ESPN, it was the World Series of Poker.
That's fair. Yeah, I remember that era too. And there were shows of like Poker Wars and that kind of stuff on like MTV. So like maybe they were onto something.
I remember as a kid, I'd always see World Series. I'm like, oh, maybe it's like an old school game. Because I like, you know, if it's February, I know the World Series is on. I'm like, oh, maybe they're playing, you know, some retro game. Be fun to watch. And they're like, no, this is poker. What's this? The guy's playing cards.
I don't understand the appeal of watching people play poker. Like, you and I have played poker, and, like, it's kind of fun to play when you have cards and chips in your own hand. But watching someone else play poker, unless you're getting the inner monologue from the poker player themselves, it's not interesting.
I think it's one of those, like, kind of like watching someone play chess of, like, what would you have done kind of thing. Or
I don't find it interesting to watch someone play chess.
Or, as my mom can't understand, why do people watch people play video games?
I have tried to explain to your mother the appeal of watching people play video games so many times.
Yes.
She doesn't. She refuses to get it. It's not that she doesn't get it. She doesn't want to get it.
So they end this segment with the line, when we lose, everyone wins. By the way, because it's poker, someone's going to lose each hand. That's just the way poker works.
But that doesn't matter.
Also, I'm pretty sure they're like in the same amount of clothes later.
No, they were wearing like bras and stuff later. Yeah. Here they're actually wearing like a t-shirt. Not much, but they're in bras and underwear later.
Elsewhere backstage, a very likely intoxicated Scott Hall and Sean Waltman try to get in the building and fight security. Like he's slurring big, but
Scott Hall is not looking good.
No, he also looks very bloated.
Yeah, he's very puffy.
And he wrestles a match on pay-per-view. Ugh. But Scott Hall keeps mentioning, yeah, Eazy-E's going to be here.
Yeah, that's not the first, that's not the only time he says Eazy-E either.
He says it in the segment later.
I'm wondering if, like, is there any amount of fan that wouldn't know who Eazy-E is at this time?
I think people know, but I think it's just one of those where he doesn't know that Bischoff wasn't advertised because he's set to be in a segment later where the way Bischoff comes out isn't necessarily a surprise. It's just that he's interrupting the segment.
Right.
So I don't know. Apparently TNA is the number one trend on Twitter.
God, remember when trending topics mattered?
I mean, WWE was doing the little graphic in the lower third saying like,
oh, I know.
Yeah. I'm saying even recently.
Okay, well, recently it definitely doesn't matter. Yeah. Trending on X. Like, no, trending topics don't matter the way that they used to.
We then see Hulk Hogan is getting closer. They're a few blocks away.
Oh, no.
And back from commercial, the limo has stopped. A second limo pulls up. Someone gets out of the one limo and into Hulk's.
Who could it be?
I'm going to guess Eazy-E.
It's got to be the decoy, right?
We then get Hall and Waltman coming through the crowd and sit at ringside.
Yeah, they just like bought general admission tickets, or that's what you're supposed to assume.
Which, why do they need to beat up security then?
Great question.
And now it's time for the man of the hour. We get the closest knockoff ever.
I can't even.
Of the NWO music.
I can't even like replicate it in here because I would just sing the NWO theme. It's the same song with like one note altered.
You know what? I think there's only one man to explain the differences in this song versus the actual song. And that man is Vanilla Ice. Take it, Ice.
Not the same bass line. Like it goes. That's the way theirs goes. Ours goes. That little bitty change. It's not the same.
It's just not the same.
Like, it's so blatant.
It's so close to the original song that, like, if you hadn't heard the NWO song or watched the NWO since 2002 or whenever they showed up on WWE, whatever, in however many years, if you hear this song, you're like, oh, yeah, same song. They're using the NWO theme. No, brother.
So Hulk Hogan enters the Impact Zone for the very first time. And I think because it's just randomly in the second hour, this doesn't feel as big as it should during the entrance.
No, it just doesn't feel like a big moment. Although our girl Brooke is there.
Yes. during the pay-per-view, Brooke Hogan was sat next to a very special guest. Do you remember? I think I texted
you
this.
You did, yeah.
Mr. Joey Fatone.
It's gonna be me.
So Hulk Hogan is in all black and notes Hall and Waltman on the way in. In the ring, Hogan soaks in the crowd. What's up, TNA maniacs?
That doesn't work.
Is it better or worse than NWOites?
They're both bad. TNA maniacs is less original because you're just taking Hulkamaniac and turning it to TNA maniac.
I've been in the back all day, brother.
No, you haven't. We just saw you drive in.
Hogan says that TNA will be the number one company in the world. And then he like keeps saying, man, I've been here all day. I've been so excited talking
to
everybody.
No, you haven't. You haven't been here.
Hall and Waltman then hop the barricade and interrupt. And Hogan's like, no, let him through.
Yeah, so security actually does stop Hall and Waltman when they jump over. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're just general admission. You're not supposed to be like, you're trespassing, basically. And then Hulk is like, no, come up. I appreciate security for doing their job.
Yeah, they didn't get punched once and go, we're leaving. We didn't know we'd have to be security.
Yeah, no, they actually did their job. And I'm happy with
it. Which I'm realizing, if you listen to this the day it comes out, you won't get that joke because that has to do with the next Nitro.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, well. Security's a bunch of bitches on the next Nitro. Spoilers.
Yes.
So they all do the Too Sweet, which I don't know why. Seeing Hulk Hogan Too Sweet X-Pac just feels weird to me.
X-Pac is like the little brother that your mom is forcing you to hang out with while you're out with your friends.
Yeah.
He's not part of this.
So Hall has a mic, and what's the first thing he says?
Hi, all.
He also says to say hello to the bad guy. Just all the greatest hits.
Yeah, he's really just hitting them all. This is not his debut.
No, he's been around.
He's been here. So it's not like it's, don't forget me. Like, hey, remember me. Here's all my catchphrases. Like, he's been here.
Hall says that once again, Eric Bischoff is here. And it's like, all right, it's time to party.
Yeah, we still haven't seen Eric Bischoff yet. Stop spoiling it.
Hogan says it's not like that anymore, brother. It's a different time. Hogan says it's time for them all to grow up and do the right thing for the business.
Now they're businessmen.
Hall says that things will change with Hogan or without him. And then we get Kevin Nash coming out to the ring. I was convinced he was going to have the Wolfpack music.
Whatever music it comes out to is abysmal. I don't know what the fuck this is, but it's bad.
Nash comes out and is like, guys, Hulk's playing a role tonight. Let him play it. Which, one, if he was, you just blew your whole cover.
Yeah.
Two, Hogan's like, it's not a role, brother. It's not a role, butter.
Yeah, but Nash just kind of comes out and is like, guys, just fucking stand down.
We
Let
used
him do
to be
his thing.
For life. Now we need to be for real. And I'm like,
got him.
Like,
you thought you were doing something with that.
Well,
line.
I know it, you know, for real is just a phrase, but in the world of wrestling, one person used to say that they were for real, and let's not invoke him.
So Hogan talks about the fact that he's partnering with Dixie. Is he trying to imply that he is her business partner?
Yes.
Like, he owns stake in the business.
I don't know how much stake he owns, but very much he's been hired to run the show.
How much, like, pork do you think? He's got, like, ribs. If he doesn't have steak, he's got to have something.
Remember how you cut my joke? about the pizza.
It was a visual joke. You can't do visual jokes.
Nash calls Hulk out and is like, we've been talking for a few weeks, and this is not at all what you said to me at any point right. in the last, like, 4 weeks.
The fuck, brother?
Nash says that Hulk has turned corporate. Hulk's defense is like, no, I haven't. It's like, yeah, you
win. Correct.
Because Hulk once again says, no, it's just a different time. And then we get Eric Bischoff making his entrance to somewhat, well, not that, but something close to his, like, NWO theme.
Maybe? I don't know.
His NWO theme. Like, you haven't heard it in a while. You don't remember
it. I guess not. But it was bad. But he is looking a little leather daddy. He actually cut his hair. He's still gray, but he cut his hair. He's wearing the leather jacket. He's dressed in all black. He's looking a little leather daddy Bischoff again.
So Bischoff makes entrance and joins Hogan's side, and he's like, oh, look at this. Who would have thought, huh?
The band's back together.
They do say that on on the next episode, too.
Oh, God. We're getting the band back together.
Bischoff puts over their Impact and gives himself credit for the NWO. Like, I'm the guy who put this all together.
And the crowd, like, leaned into it. They were doing thank you, Eric chants. Shut the fuck up.
Bischoff says that everyone has to earn their roles in this company. And Nash is like, all right, we hear you loud and clear. And they ominously leave. It's like, okay.
Something is afoot.
So now it's just Bischoff and Hogan. Hogan refocuses and says that basically everything resets tonight. We accidentally watched a reboot Impact.
I think this was the moment that I'm like, we just watched this episode.
Yeah, we just watched this. Hogan promises they'll be the number one sports entertainment company.
I thought you were wrestling. Interesting.
Eric Bischoff then calls for a producer and calls for a format, which they give him a real format.
Yeah, a woman comes up to the ring and hands Eric an actual format.
And he's like, we're ripping up the script for tonight.
And he actually rips it up.
And rips it up and throws it. And a bunch of guys in the front row catch it and are very clearly reading.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this promo and all the stuff the rest of the night is on the actual format.
The one that he just ripped
up and threw. Yes, so they were fully reading spoilers. Your visual gag did not work here.
Excellent. I love that.
And not the closing line, but the one that I think really put something in my brain. If you can't talk and you can't wrestle, head up north. Remember that for people who show up later tonight.
Nice. After that hell of a line, though, just burying our friends in the north, we get a dramatic zoom to the rafters.
Fucking Sting in the rafters. What year is it?
I think I've seen this film before.
Oh, God. Yeah, so we're
just watched this. This just happened in 1999, or 2000. We just watched this.
Oh, Christ. So
I think this is the moment where I'm like, oh, we're just watching WCW Part 2. This is just exactly what we've been talking about for the last 97 episodes.
There's just better in-ring work, so it's more salvageable.
Same shit, different year.
Well, something they would not have in WCW. Next up is our Knockouts Tag Team title match.
Another women's match.
Like women's Amazing. Belt.
For women's belt. Right. There are no women's belts in WCW right now.
I don't know if there ever was. Or was maybe, maybe at
one
point.
I thought Medusa had one.
No. She won the Cruiserweight title.
Oh, true.
But it's Awesome Kong and Hamada versus Sarita and Taylor Wilde.
Yes.
And the referee for this match is former WCW ref Slick Johnson.
You had to remind me who Slick Johnson was. Do you want to remind again?
He's the actual crooked referee that you think Charles Robinson is.
Charles Robinson used to be crooked. Do not undermine that. He was a bad guy.
He's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's the guy. So we get some good back and forth action between Sarita and Hamada until a diving arm drag from Taylor Wilde. We then cut backstage and I was convinced, oh fuck, is this just going to be the thing now?
Yeah.
But the Motor City Machine Guns have been laid out.
Swerve.
We don't see who this was on this show.
No. Because it happens multiple other times throughout this show as well, where people are just laid out backstage.
Apparently it was supposed to be obvious based on the end of the show.
Is it the masked guy?
No, it's the NWO. It's implied that all these were Nash, Hall, and Waltman.
Oh.
Yeah, I did not get that.
That's not obvious.
Because they say, because somebody gets taken out later, goes to Eric Bischoff and is like, they attacked us from behind. We want to match with them.
How would you know?
Yeah.
How would you know who it was if they attacked you from behind?
Well, they probably got the jump out of them and were like kicking them. You know, I don't think they knocked him out cold with the one shot. So
but still, but yeah, that's not obvious.
Yeah, so all
at
these
all.
Were done by the NWO.
No, not
Sorry,
one of them was
the
straight-
band, which I guess is half. I think how they're, what they're actually end up called.
Not one of them was spray painted. How would I have known?
Luckily, we do actually go back to the match.
Thank God. I was a little worried.
Kong lays out Sarita and no-sells some drop kicks until a double drop kick sends her out of the ring. We then get a double dive from the faces, which prompts big TNA chants.
Yeah, this is very much invoking ECW with the TNA, TNA. Yeah.
Also, I think this part of the similarity was, as to ECW in my brain, was as a kid, people were like, no, WWE's fake. TNA is the real one. they do it for real. Kind of like if people thought ECW was real.
Yeah. Wow, they got you, brother.
And then there was one match with Christian and Scott Steiner where they have a botch so bad that it's like, no, it's a work. They go to do like this, slam the head in the turnbuckle, and just it doesn't line up, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Back from commercial, the heels are working over Taylor Wilde. Hamada stops Wilde from tagging and hits some hard chops. Wilde hits a code breaker on Kong and tags in Sarita. Sarita hits a springboard dropkick and walks into a super kick. It's like, oh, damn. Yeah. The heels try to hit some power moves, and the faces counter with quick action. It was going so quick, I literally could not keep up in the notes.
No, I kind of gave up writing, because I was like, I just want to watch what's happening.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a really fucking good match.
The finish of the match, dropkick powerbomb combo from Hamada and Kong, gets the win, and new knockout tag team champions, Awesome Kong and Hamada.
So far, the women are impressing me more than the men. Granted, we've had more women's matches than men's matches so far, but holy shit. We got some good women's matches.
Oh, yeah. This was a great match.
Yeah. This was a fantastic match. It's 2010. What? You have no right being this good.
Yeah. I really just lost pace with the notes. Because that finishing sequence, they had a whole bunch of stuff and they hit it great. And
it was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm highly impressed. I'm really excited to see what the women do. Like, this is what I want. This is what I wanted the Patreon to be originally when we were first conceptualizing what the Patreon was. I wanted it to be more of an ode to women's wrestling. And you were like, Emily, there's not a lot of women's wrestling that's worth watching. Somehow we've circled back and now we're watching these great women wrestling matches.
I should note that that's easy to find because I don't know where the hell to
yes.
find previous stardom shows.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. But we've circled back. We found a women's division that's well worth watching.
And
I'm thrilled.
While we were watching, we're like, wow, they're like not making the women look horrible. No. Immediate cut to the strip poker. I'm like, yeah, that's.
I mean, they still do that in WWE to an extent, too. There are.
It's not like this, though.
I know.
Yeah. You compare this to Eva Marie being a character, and I'm like, that's not the same.
No, I know.
Because we go back to strip poker, and Emily, who's here?
Hello, ladies.
I'm sorry. Emily, don't you mean from the upcoming shows, ladies, I'm here.
Is that his line?
Yeah.
No.
I busted out laughing.
No.
So it's the artist formerly known as Val Venus because they go to say that and he's like, ah.
Ladies, I'm here. That's terrible.
Let's not get caught up in old names. Okay, Mr. Towel Man.
They never give him a new name.
It's just Sean Morley.
Ugh, that's boring.
So he's only wearing a towel, so they go from creeped out to turned on.
Yeah, they literally call him out for being a creep, and then he sits down. And he's like, by the way, I'm naked under here. And they're like, okay.
So, yeah, well, he's going to feud with Christopher Daniels. They have a match on pay-per-view.
Shocker. Val Venus is not known for his wrestling abilities. He's
and Val wins, for what it's worth.
Jesus Christ. He's a character. You shouldn't be a wrestler.
We then see Mick Foley wanting to be let in, but security stops him. And he's like, you know what? Okay, like, very much face mode. Like, I'm not going to, like, attack my way in.
You're doing your job. Whatever.
So who walks in behind?
I was already losing my mind over the fact that Val Venus was here. So I hadn't even fully recovered when we cut to these two.
Well, Emily, before you say who it is, I just want to remind you of something Hulk Hogan just said. If you can't talk and you can't wrestle, head up north. And Emily, who's here?
It's the Nasty Boys! Brian fucking Knobs is here!
Jerry Sags. Did this break you?
Yes, it broke me in the moment, too. Of all people, of all people that I never wanted to see the Nasty Boys again. We were done with them. I never cared to see the Nasty Boys ever again. And now they're here.
Yeah. So they have to go to a different gate. And as you were recovering from that, we cut to already in the ring.
It never stopped. It just never stopped.
Raven, Stevie Richards, and Daphne.
We cut to the ring and I see a woman standing there. And I'm like, that kind of looks like Daphne. And I was recovering from them saying Raven. And they're like, wait, that's fucking Daphne.
Dressed like a goth nurse.
Oh my God. It never stopped. It just kept coming.
Well, she's a goth nurse because Steve Richards is Dr. Stevie.
Oh my God. I was so gone at this point. I'm like, who else are we going to see?
Well, they're facing the Blueprint, Matt Morgan, and Hernandez.
I don't even care.
Hernandez overpowers Raven. Morgan hits a carbon footprint and wins.
Over. Two-move match. I couldn't even come down from the fact that it was Raven and Daphne and Stevie Richards before the match was over.
And then we get Chrissy Hemme. She's here with the Pope.
Ugh, this is not the Pope that I wanted to
be. No. By the way, you've occasionally been doing something where I tell you about something that like happens in wrestling, and then you're like, he should be doing this. And you're like, Emily, that idea because I told you about that idea.
You know what? The goldfish brain sometimes turns on. I don't remember, but...
So the Pope says that Hogan wants to see him in action tonight, and... What's surprising to him is that he hasn't had sex with Chrissy Hemme yet.
Ew. Like, he's a pope. You're supposed to be celibate. I did love that he was wearing a mask 10 years early, but he's wearing one.
So he shit talks to his opponent, Desmond Wolfe, and then we get Orlando Jordan interrupting.
Okay. Talk about someone who cannot talk.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, Orlando's the one who walks in with a sip. Ooh, tasty. The 5-hour energy.
Yeah. No one has ever said that about a 5-hour energy. You chug it and you go, ow, my esophagus, and then you throw it away.
So Orlando wishes him luck and the Pope declines a handshake. I don't know what the point of this was.
To get another sponsor moment in.
I guess. Let's go to the match they were just kind of talking about. It's Desmond Wolfe versus the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro.
Oh, this is another match that broke me. Oh my.
Was it?
There's that one line in this match. Kind of wrestling style would you say that this match is?
Oh. Yes. They described Desmond Wolfe as being having that catch-as-catch-can style.
What does that mean? I'm so upset that this is who the Pope is. The Pope has so much potential as a character, and this just isn't it.
Yeah, it's just Elijah Burke.
Like the money raining down? Well, that's not how it works.
Did you notice where the money was raining down?
No.
Pretty much just on the ramp so they can collect it again
and
later.
And use it again, yeah.
So Wolf works over the arm early and Pope counters with strikes. Wolf counters an aloha with an arm breaker and keeps stretching over the arm. I did like his offense a bit here.
Yeah. But
Desmond Wolf definitely is somebody that I think I'm going to like and you're going to kind of be.
Yeah, probably. There were some, like, overall in the show, there were some good counter moves.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's that catch-as-catch-can style,
Emily. Shut the fuck up. What does that... Explain to me what that means, and I will stop saying shut the fuck up.
I mean, it's like a counter, like, you catch them as you catch can. We get a quarter handstand elbow from the Pope, and Wolf goes for the Tower of London, which apparently his finisher.
Great name.
But the Pope counters and locks in a small package and gets the win.
Not a bad match. I mean, quick.
Yeah, it was kind of nothing here.
Would you say it's catch-as-catch-can?
I would not.
I hate that so much. It wasn't bad. It was not offensive. It was quick. It was some good moves.
Yeah, they were talking about how like Desmond Wolfe is like beating Kurt Angle. And it's like, oh, he just loses to the... Like the technical wrestling guy loses on the small package. I'm like, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Backstage.
Hey, Slapnut.
Making his return. It's Jeff Jarrett.
I'm the chosen one.
He doesn't say that at any point in the show.
He doesn't say Slapnuts either.
They call him the King of the Mountain. I'm like, was that his nickname? I guess.
He also doesn't have his guitar. Who is this man?
We'll talk about him in a little bit.
Oh, no.
But also backstage, Rhino has been laid out. Rhino. Jeremy Borash has shared a report on it. Bubba the Love Sponge comes in and is like, I got this.
Well, every time Bubba the Love Sponge comes into any scene, he has to introduce himself like 3 times. Hey, Bubba the Love Sponge here. I'm Bubba the Love Sponge with Rhino, who just got knocked out. Tell Bubba the Love Sponge what happened. Like, he's knocked out. He's not going to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm unclear whether or not the the him versus Abyss match didn't happen because of this, or just was it not happening already?
That's a great question. I completely forgot that that was supposed to be a barbed wire match. Like, wow. I'm glad you wrote down the card because I completely forgot about that.
Well, with the British Invasion not wrestling, we didn't get to see somebody that I don't think you would have recognized, especially because you just don't know, you don't watch enough SmackDown right now. Part of the British Invasion is a wrestler named Magnus, whose real name and is the current general manager of Raw is Nick Aldis.
Oh, okay.
He's also Mickey James' husband.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's doing well. We then get Jeremy Borash interviewing the phenomenal AJ Styles.
So he's always been the phenomenal one.
Yes.
I love that.
He gets a hardworking babyface promo here. Like, very, like, milquetoast kind of.
I really prefer him with the short hair.
Me too.
He looks so much better.
I even liked him when he debuted with, like, the soccer mom cut. Like, I was fine with it.
No, I like this.
I think it's
this.
Too long now.
Current day, yeah, I agree.
And he's not wrestling in jeans here.
True.
People are very upset about that.
Why?
But he hasn't, like, brought his actual gear back.
I like people who wrestle in jeans. It makes you feel more grounded and more realistic. I like the jeans.
Eric Bischoff then comes in and says he has good news and bad news. He cancels Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles for Genesis, except
Boo.
That match still happens. And instead, it's tonight's main event.
Oh no, we get to watch a match versus Kurt Angle and AJ Styles.
Yeah,
I can't tell which one was the good news and which one was the bad news.
Yeah, I don't really know either. I guess depending on, you know, if you're heel or face, it's interchangeable.
Maybe, yeah.
So yeah, we have a main event for tonight, and I was very looking forward to this.
Yeah, you were pumped as soon as they announced that.
We then get the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, coming out to the ring.
I hate that he's here.
He talks about his history with TNA and the company's resilience. He calls tonight the greatest night in the company's history. Jarrett then says the most rewarding thing he's done is give the young guys a chance. Remember that. He says anything can and will happen in TNA. And then Hogan appears on the screen and is very antagonistic towards Jeff Jarrett, who just cut like a returning babyface promo.
Yes. So this is where I'm kind of confused, where he says like his greatest achievement in TNA is giving the young guys a chance. Did he have any part in bringing back all these old guys?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he lost a lot of power recently. The whole Karen Angle kind of thing.
Oh.
He lost a lot of he lost a lot of stroke then.
Okay, and that's kind of when all the power went to Dixie, I guess?
Well, Dixie has always had control of the company. She just kind of was more on the back burner.
Okay.
Because Hogan says that Jeff Jarrett ran this company into the ground and gives Dixie Carter all the credit.
Okay.
So Hogan says that Jarrett has no power and all the young guys will get a real shot now.
How could you tell that's what he was saying? Because half of that promo was bleeped out.
Oh, yeah.
So the crowd was chanting bullshit.
Yeah.
But every time they said shit, they muted the tracks. So this is all over Hogan talking. So we got half of what Hogan was saying as they muted the track.
He tells Jarrett no one cares about his past and then tells him he has no stroke and has to prove himself. So my guess is that Hulk Hogan saw this, saw how much of a heel he came off as, didn't like the audience's reaction. Because do you know what happens next week?
What?
Jeff Jarrett says, basically, oh, I was full of shit about the young talent. I'm the only real star here. Screw the young guys.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Completely undercuts this whole promo.
What the fuck? He can't have been on board for that. That sucks.
Yeah. Like, he brings, like, you know, a little lawyer in just for added heel heat.
Oh, my God.
Although, speaking of young guys getting a shot, someone makes their TNA debut on the next Impact. And I was like, oh, wow. It's the Young Bucks.
Oh. AEW Young Bucks?
Yes.
Oh.
They have slightly different names in TNA. They're called Generation Me.
Okay.
But they beat the Motor City Machine Guns. Like, oh.
Shit.
Like, they give them a big win on the first night.
Okay.
It was just weird watching. I'm like, wait a minute, that's Matt and Nick Jackson.
I know you.
I guess they decided to leave Target.
Anyway.
Hey, Christy Hemme is here with Christopher Daniels. He says he's not worried. He has ability.
But he immediately gets interrupted.
Yes, because Jeremy Borash is here. And for some reason has to talk to Christy Hemme about Mick Foley being here.
Because he's like on the phone with Mick.
Yes. So Mick is literally at the door next to the interview set. And JB opens the door and Foley pushes past. He's like, Mick, you can't come in. He's like, I'm coming in.
I'm coming in anyway.
We then go backstage. Jeff Hardy is doing some painting.
I have, again, a lot of questions. He's like fully painting on a canvas and an easel with paints. And Shannon Moore is hyping up this painting. One, where did he get the easel? Where did he get the canvas? Where did he get the paints? Why is Shannon Moore lying to him?
What do you mean, why is he lying?
It's not a good painting. Come on.
No, it's very Jeff Hardy style.
Ugh. Does he fancy himself an artist?
Oh, yes. No. Of all mediums. Of poetry. Of he has an album. I mean, we should note, the awful theme song came out to earlier was him singing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I caught. Oh, I both do and do not want to hear some Jeff Hardy slam poetry.
I think it's his band or the album is called Peroxygen.
Oh, God.
It's something.
Sounds like it. What a guy.
So the big man wants to meet with Jeff Hardy, so they go off. I don't know why we had to see this again.
Well, we wanted to push the painting.
Apparently. Then go to the ring. It's going to be Abyss versus not Rhino.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Abyss. This was supposed to be the barbed wire match.
Yes, commentary notes that match won't happen now because Rhino's been taken out.
So, I guess there's your answer, yeah.
And now it's going to be a mystery first time ever match. And Emily, who is his opponent?
It's Samoa Joe!
Samoa Joe! He's young! Yeah, baby Samoa Joe.
He's so tiny. Not tiny, but like, he's Samoa Joe, just with a couple fewer pounds. He's not as like big and built as he is now. It's Samoa Joe.
So yeah, Abyss versus Samoa Joe. We get some jabs from Joe in the corner. Joe runs into a big boot and Abyss ducks a chair shot and throws Joe into the ring steps. Commentary notes that if you go on to TNAshop.com, you can get the first ever Hulk Hogan TNA trading card. It's available for $39.99.
It's a card.
I think maybe it's autographed.
Jesus Christ.
Because it was a card, but it was a whole like plaque. And I'm like, what the
fuck? Oh my God.
We get a big boot and leg drop combo from Joe. We see that Sting is still here up in the rafters.
He's just hanging.
Yeah.
Not hanging from the rafters, just hanging out in the rafters.
Abyss signals for the choke slam, but Joe gets out, walks into a clothesline and a sidewalk slam. Joe hits a breadstrope enziguri and hits some more jabs. Abyss no-sells strike, but ends up eating a kick. Abyss counters a dive and hits a choke slam, but it only gets a two. Joe hits a chair shot behind the referee's back and locks in the coquina clutch. And Abyss, I guess, taps out. It didn't look like a definitive tap. It almost looked like he was trying to get to the ropes. But
yeah, this one was a weird ending.
But commentary just calls it.
It's a tap out, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't do anything with this on the upcoming shows. So I guess this was just a tap.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever, it was cool to see Joe.
Yeah, this is a pretty good match.
Fine, yeah. I like Samoa Joe, even though he broke my heart in 2019.
Why did he break your heart?
Do you remember his match?
Yeah, that's not his fault, though.
It broke my heart.
Yeah.
That was my first wrestling betrayal.
Yeah, Emily's talking about him versus Rey only going like 30 seconds.
That was the match I was looking forward to the most on the card of WrestleMania from 2019. Broke my damn heart.
Yeah, one of them got hurt. I forget which one.
I can't remember, but it was 30 seconds. And I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
That's all I get? I got like one booyaka and that was it.
What's the screen grab of sad booyaka noises?
Booyaka. Broke my damn heart. Anyway, glad to see Joe.
I like Abyss as well.
Yeah, Abyss seemed to like be able to hold his own. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of context for Abyss, so it'll be interesting to see him going forward.
These were just two big guys that could go, and they were going.
I don't know who his match was going to be against, but Abyss has a notable pay-per-view match because he took out his previous opponent who just seemed to be taking a nap on Eric Bischoff's couch. I was like, all right, facing a new signing now. Right. And who was it, Emily?
I don't remember.
It was my boy.
Oh, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah. Mr. Anderson made his debut at the Genesis pay-per-view. So
I love that he still has the Mr. Kennedy microphone, though.
Yes, and they very much tape up that cable so it does not come unplugged.
Coming unplugged.
So we'll see Mr. Anderson when we come back to TNA.
So backstage, we get to check back in with our girl Crystal as she has found Eric Bischoff and she decides to confront him and demands a meeting with Hulk Hogan.
Bischoff's like, chill out, take a number.
Yeah, literally, he's like, who do you think you are?
And she's like, well, Bobby's not going to be happy. Just stop showing up to work.
Right. You have power here. You're a contracted employee.
Stop coming. I wouldn't assume MMA falls under the non-compete clause.
I don't No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Somebody asked Jimmy John's.
I'm kind of amazed non-competes are even allowed in wrestling.
Honestly, yeah.
Elsewhere backstage, Bubba Love Sponge finds beer money laid out.
Beer money.
Yes, because it was a rich guy and a guy who likes beer.
Nice. I love, that's a great gimmick.
Did you see who was in beer money?
No.
It's James Storm, who you really know.
No.
And Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode!
Yeah. Bobby Roode is very much in his Triple H era.
Yes.
But beer money are the guys who face the band on pay-per-view.
Getting the band back together. I can't believe that. That's so annoying.
Elsewhere, the Nasty Boys are still trying to get in.
Go home!
Bubba the Love Sponge distracts the security guy and they just like sneak in behind him. I'm like, why are you even here? You're not doing anything on the show.
No, I can't explain my disdain. Like, I'm so mad that the Nasty Boys are even fucking here. Like, yeah. Why are they here? Are they gonna, do they do anything on the next Impact and yes. Genesis? Fuck.
Well, we'll talk about them more after their next segment.
Ugh. I don't wanna.
Let's go to Jeremy Borash is here with Perk Angle.
Sorry, what?
Perk Angle.
Perk?
Yeah, he's all the painkillers and drugs. And,
ugh, that's sad. But, don't say that.
Well, that's the problem is he's still so damn good.
That's so sad, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
He got fired from WWE in 2006.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you were refusing to go to rehab.
Yeah.
Go, like, we'll hire you back when you get help. And he went, no, I'll go to TNA.
Yeah, they won't make me go to rehab.
That's the old test move.
Probably the Scott Hall move, too.
Oh, Hall hadn't been WWE for years. So Hall's been in and out of TNA. Like,
oh, has he? Okay, yeah. Then I'll cut that. It's just so sad. I mean, he doesn't look bad here, at least.
No,
he really doesn't. But a lot of that fault does also fall on TNA of, like, you don't actually care about the well-being of your wrestlers.
Yeah. Angle puts over AJ, but notes that AJ didn't beat him. AJ won the title in a multi-man match in which he did not pin Kurt. Angle says that AJ can't beat him, and then in just one of those sad lines, I'm like, oh. You know what it is? It's that Mr. Perfect can't... It's that Kurt Hennig can't say Mr. Perfect moment. Oh, it's real. It's damn real. I'm like, ugh.
It's so sad.
Like, you can't say it's true, really?
I guess they copyrighted it.
Out in, I guess, a parking lot. There's no other cars, so I don't know what this is.
No, it's like a back lot. There's no other people.
There are, because it's weird. Jeff Hardy and Shannon Moore leave with manila envelopes, which I assume have contracts in
them.
Yeah,
I guess that went over my head.
And three, like...
Tweenie girls?
Yeah, tweenie girls run up, and they're like, can we get an autograph? And Jeff's like, how about this? It's even better. And gives her the painting.
The painting, yeah.
I'd love her to be like, no thanks.
But they all just, like, squeal. But there were no other people, really. It was just these three girls.
Yeah, they want Jeff to be the heartthrob.
Ew, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah. They also leave in this very orange sports car.
Oh, I missed that bit.
Yeah, I don't know whose car that was, but I feel like you drove it off camera and then returned the keys to somebody.
Imagine going home, though, to your mom or dad's house with this massive painting. Like, look what I got. Where the hell am I going to put that?
Granted, he's never, to my knowledge, he's never done anything inappropriate like this. But I don't know. If my daughter came home and they're like, yeah, Jeff Hardy, I'd be like,
light it on fire.
No, like, you're not going to TNA again. I don't trust that man.
Yeah, to my knowledge, he hasn't done anything like that.
No. DUIs, yes. This, no.
You know. Not everyone's perfect.
Hence why I think they're like, no, give me the keys back. You've gone far enough. Still backstage, the Nasty Boys are roaming around. They find Team 3D's locker room.
Which we don't get to see Team 3D. They're in Japan, apparently.
Yes, they were.
Ugh, what a bummer.
Security apologizes with donuts, but they throw the donuts. And they're like, we want beer. And then Nobbs actually grabs down and is like, actually, I'll take a donut.
I'll take a donut. But they just destroy the locker room. They tear down the lockers. They deface the posters on the wall. Like, fully decimate this room.
So next week, it's Brother Ray and Brother Devon.
Oh, no.
They find the room and they're like, what the fuck? And I was like, really? You're going to make it seem like it's the same place? I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's the Impact Zone.
It is the same place.
It literally is the same place. I, like, my brain was like, oh, yeah, I forgot for a minute.
If they did the Jim Duggan janitor gimmick, it would actually work.
Yes. I did laugh at when they show up, they have to pretend the door is locked, and they go to wiggle the handle, and you, like, see it fully turn.
Oh, I missed.
Because Bubba chops down the door with an axe, and then, well, He chops it like four times and then just kicks it. And I'm like, why did you need to chop it then?
You know, structural integrity or whatever.
So that's what 2010 needs. We need a Nasty Boys versus Team 3D feud.
For sure. Definitely need that. Although I love Team 3D. I like to see them again, but they're not going to be what they were.
No.
No. They're not lighting tables on fire and like slim and people threw them.
I don't know if we'll ever review the Electrified Cage match.
Oh. Oh no.
We listened to the OSW for that.
Did we?
Yeah. But Emily, let's go to our main event of the
Woo!
Night. For the TNA World Title, it's Kurt Angle versus champion AJ Styles.
Let's go.
Angle hits a back suplex, but AJ holds on to his headlock. AJ hits a drop kick, and they do a dive sequence that lets me know that this is going to be a great match, and rough for notes.
I did not take any notes. I was just like, we're just going to gush about this match.
We then get a masked man running down to the ring and attacks AJ, but Kurt takes out the masked man and throws him outside the ring. It's like
immediately.
Yeah, it's like,
immediately
okay.
A non-issue.
Yeah, so I don't know how long this has been going on for, but I can tell you how long it goes.
Next episode.
Next episode.
Yep.
The mystery man is revealed to be...
Dun, dun, dun.
Tomko.
Who?
Kind of exactly.
Okay.
Although, Jesus, look up Tomko right now, because I never noticed this until he did the mask off reveal. Motherfucker looks like Kramer.
Oh, no.
Like
how do you spell that?
T-M-O-K-O. Like, in his face. He's not he's bald, so...
Travis Tomko?
I know.
Oh, yeah, he does. He's familiar. Have I seen him before?
He's been part of the Christian's groups at various times.
He has a mugshot.
Oh, yeah.
He was Christian's bodyguard in WWE in 2002.
Yeah, well, more than that. He didn't until like 2005.
Okay.
And in TNA. So, yeah, AJ beats Tomko in the main event of that show. And I'm like, wow, I wonder if you had a bigger plan and then ended up not doing it.
I mean, yeah. Maybe it was supposed to be someone else.
I don't know. Considering you had Mr. Anderson on Sunday, I feel like you could have held out and had to be him. So once Tomko's gone, we get a buckle bomb from Kurt, and then we get a commercial break. AJ powers out of a rest hold to massive dueling chants, which I found out you apparently don't like.
No, when it's like, let's go AJ, let's go Angle, it doesn't have like a ending where it's like, let's go AJ, bum, 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 bum. Like, that's an ending. Where it, like, loops, you know?
Yeah, well, it's...
This is just never ending.
Well, it's different people doing it. It's
know
not
it's different people, but it's never ending. There's no, like, reprieve.
So do you hate Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, then?
I don't know why that doesn't bother me as much. I don't know why. Maybe because it's two different phrases.
Yeah. Emily also hates the super long, soccer chants.
Listen, I love the creativity that you put into it, but if I have to, like, research and practice chants before I go to a soccer match... It's too much work, man.
The best tweet I've ever seen about that was the American crowds, defense, British crowds. All right, I wrote this about our midfielders' DUI chant set to the tune of Claire de Lune. On three, everybody.
Yeah, literally. If there needs to be rehearsals for chants, I'm not there.
Roy Kent would be ashamed.
I know, I'm sorry. I love the creativity. I think it's great that you guys do that. Couldn't be me.
AJ hits his fireman's neck breaker, but Angle counters a phenomenal forearm with a belly-to-belly. AJ counters an Angle slam with a discus clothesline, and then Angle counters a Styles Clash and hits triple Germans. And Taz was surprised he stopped at three. I'm like, no, that's pretty normal.
No, that's pretty standard.
AJ counters, get used to that word.
Counters?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of countering in this match.
AJ counters an Angle slam again with a Pele kick, but Kurt catches the kick and locks in an ankle lock. AJ rolls through that and actually hits his Pele kick. Angle slam to AJ, only gets a two. My one criticism of this match is I feel like they go to the finisher. They actually hit the finishers a little too much, a little too early.
Fair.
Like one, I love this match.
Yeah.
But my one criticism, like, that felt a little wasted here.
Okay.
Like, I did not believe Angle was going to win here for a second.
I'll give you that, yeah.
And in a similar kind of note to that, AJ hits a phenomenal forearm. And I'm like, oh, like, that's his finisher nowadays. But because he goes up top, and there was a little bit of a spiral tap chant, so...
Yeah.
Which, I won't spoil that for you. That's a great move once he breaks that out.
Oh, okay.
Angle runs up the ropes, hits a belly-to-belly throw for a two. AJ dodges a kind of lame-looking frog splash from Kurt. I'm like, where's the moonsault?
I know.
He broke it out on pay-per-view.
Oh, yes, that's good.
But of course, he did miss it.
Well, of course. You're not supposed to hit a moonsault.
AJ hits the Styles Clash, and Angle kicks out at 2.9.
I love the Styles Clash. I think that's such a good move.
Do you know who's doing that move at this time in WWE?
Who?
Michelle McCool.
Ugh. So nobody ever sees it.
No, she wins all the fucking time.
Well, because it's a good move. Puts on the women so they don't care.
AJ puts Angle on the top rope, but Kurt knocks AJ off and finally hits his frog splash. AJ counters an Angle slam with a jumping DDT. Kurt rolls through a sunset flip, locks in the ankle lock.
Nice.
AJ gets out, but Kurt Angle manages to flip him over on a German suplex. We then get the springboard moonsault reverse DDT from AJ Styles. I think he still breaks out a little bit now and then.
His current day moveset is not as captivating as this era.
It's funny. I think honestly, in terms of the actual moves, it's pretty similar, but he's just like so much more crisp here.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
It's one of those like watching Rey Mysterio in 97 versus like even now. He's still great, but
he's still doing the 619. It's just a little slower.
Well, he wasn't doing the 619 in 97.
I guess that's true.
Because he got booed at ECW for doing it. Kurt trips AJ up on the top rope and tries for a superplex, but ends up hitting a super Angle slam. Ankle lock is locked in, but AJ rolls him into the turnbuckle, and a Styles Clash once again only gets a 2.9.
Yeah, it's really like 2.999.
Yeah, oh yeah, Angle's the king of that.
Oh my god, both of them are really good at that.
Styles goes for the Styles Clash again, but Kurt counters it and locks in an ankle lock, and Kurt manages to grapevine on it, which we noted watching the pay-per-view match, like, Kurt Angle must love the Styles Clash because he's right by the leg, so he can just easily do that counter, and it always looks great.
Yeah, their moveset really complements each other.
We then get Ric Flair actually coming out to the ring as AJ gets out of the ankle lock and hits a back suplex to hit a springboard 450, but Kurt kicks out again. Flair is standing on the stage and we go to commercial. Back from commercial, we get an ankle lock, but AJ powers out and Flair leaves as AJ hits another Styles Clash, but doesn't try to pin Kurt. AJ goes onto the apron, hits another springboard 450 splash, and pins Kurt Angle clean.
Yeah.
No shenanigans.
No shenanigans. Even though Ric Flair was here.
Yeah. So you're still TNA champion, the phenomenal AJ Styles.
He is phenomenal.
And this was a phenomenal match.
This is a hell of a match. This is a great match.
This was important to be a clean finish on this night of you bring Hogan and Bischoff in and...
Your guy still wins.
Well, not even that. Just like, don't have this be, oh, well now every main event's going to be a screwy finish.
That's true. Yeah.
But both of these men in 2010 are amazing.
Yeah, highly impressed. Honestly, I'm highly impressed with this whole show. I don't know what I thought that I was getting myself into, but it wasn't good. So I'm happy that I found that this is good.
Yeah.
I was expecting more shitty wrestling because that's all we seem to talk about on these podcasts is bad wrestling. So the fact that we have a show that's actually really fucking good.
Yeah, I think the more I mean, when I really think about it, TNA does not really get criticized for bad matches. It was always... bad management and bad storylines. Sure. So
we kind of get the best of both worlds with TNA, where we get the stupid faff backstage, but we also get the phenomenal in-ring work.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
love this.
Speaking of both of those, post this match, they shake hands and hug, and Hulk Hogan comes out and just nods.
What does that mean, brother?
You know, he puts over Kurt and Styles, and then Hogan says, this is just the beginning, as someone then whispers something in his ear. And it's Mick Foley backstage. He crashes the strip poker game. And Val Venus just like gets in Foley's face and is like, I'm not afraid of you. And I'm like, we're making Val Venus look strong?
Why are we doing this?
So I should have noted it earlier, but before we get to the actual end of this, the Beautiful People had a match on the Impact after this.
The Beautiful People are the women that are playing strip poker.
Yes.
Okay.
And in their entrance... they, like, tease making out, and they're like, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Val stands up to Foley and is like, oh, fine, you want to see Eric Bischoff? Down the hall to the left.
And Mick is like, down the hall to the left? There's only one office down there. Implying that it was his, I believe, right?
I guess. Although, I guess he's trying to find Hogan's office, because he doesn't seem to know that that Bischoff is here.
That's true, yeah. Consummate professional.
Well, he was a surprise, and Foley's been trying to get in the building all day, so.
No, I know, but then, like, Scott Hall just kind of knew that he was here the whole day.
Yeah. So, Foley goes to the office, finds Eric Bischoff. Bischoff says that Foley is completely out of power as executive shareholder. What the fuck does that mean?
I think that it means that he owns the most shares?
Or he's acts on behalf of the shareholders.
Maybe that's it.
This is a business question, I don't know, but...
we were not business
TNA
owners.
Is also not a publicly traded company.
Well...
Foley says that he's vowed to never work for Bischoff again, and then threatens Eric Bischoff, but is attacked by Nash, Hall, and Waltman. And Hogan then walks in and just has a face.
Just looks.
I don't know what the look is, but...
Just looks. So this is where we were supposed to know that it was the NWO beating people down?
Yes.
Interesting.
And next week, no one knows where Mick Foley is.
Did they kill him? Did they take him to the field that they took Ric Flair to?
I guess.
No.
Foley is not gone, though, because we get I know we get a handful of matches with him, but this is them writing him off for a little bit, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, the Hogan's face is the last thing we see on this show.
So that's how we close it out.
This was a wide variety of a show.
I mean, was it?
I mean, it on one hand, it has the typical WCW bullshit. But on the other hand, it has some great matches.
I mean, yeah. I really can pardon the bullshit when I can watch good wrestling like that. That's kind of what kills me with WCW a lot of the time, where it's backstage bullshit paired with bad in-ring. So you can't really... There's no reprieve. So this is like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, so you think you'd be on board to continue doing this arc?
I am.
We don't need to find a different TNA arc.
I think I'm on board as long as the listeners are.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, by the way, for the record, without locking into anything, we've talked about whether or not this would be a Patreon thing or the
future of bits.
We've talked about doing the Aces and Eights storyline. Main reason I don't want to do that on the Patreon is because it's so long.
Oh.
It's like a year.
Oof.
So, yeah. But Emily, before we talk about what's next, let's talk about this show. We get to go to best bit, worst bit, and MVP.
There were a lot of good bits to choose from, honestly. Like, there were a lot of good matches, some fairly fun backstage stuff. Like, I don't know. I guess my best... I'm kind of waffling between two matches for my best bit, which I don't think is surprising.
No.
I think I know what your best bit is.
Yes, my best bit is the main event.
Yes. I think I'm going to give mine to the women's tag, just because it surprised me so much.
Yeah.
And it just gave me a lot of hope.
Yeah, Awesome Kong is great.
I mean, all four of those women were great.
Ooh, Emily, do you have a worst bit?
Just the Nasty Boys. Nasty Boys being here.
Yeah, they're included in mine, but mine is irrelevant men debuting.
There's so much irrelevancy that happens.
Well, I'm thinking Val Venus, Bubba the Love Sponge, and the Nasty Boys.
Jeff Hardy.
And Orlando Jordan. Jeff Hardy's at least a draw at this time.
I guess that's fair.
Why are you bringing Orlando Jordan in? What the fuck, what is he going to bring to your company?
I don't know. This was just so jarring, the amount of people that debuted, the amount of people that we recognized from literally 10 years ago in programming that are just, I'm here still. I wasn't relevant in 2000, but let's try again in 2010. What?
You know what I just remembered? This show took place on the 11th anniversary of the Finger Poke of Doom.
It really is cursed.
Also, it's not lost on me that all these men debuting, and they didn't have a single like new female signing.
Who would have debuted?
I don't know.
What woman would it have been?
I don't remember the free agent landscape right now.
What about MVP? Do you have an MVP?
Oh, man. It's tough. If I could give it to both of them, I would. I think it's between Kurt and AJ.
I agree. Well, I was going to give mine to AJ.
Then I'll give mine to Kurt.
Do you want to give yours to Kurt? All right.
Yeah. I was kind of leaning Kurt, but...
Both of them well deserve it.
Yeah.
Damn. What a good show.
The problem is, we're not going to see anything for the next 2 months.
Right. So the next show that we're going to review from TNA isn't until their March show. Like, as we said, this was like a pilot, so we're not going week by week with them, really. I guess explain that more.
Yeah, so we're not going to see TNA for a little bit. The next time we're going to see them is the March 8th TNA Impact. That's when they fully commit to Impact being on Mondays. We were talking about doing the pay-per-views. Genesis felt too close to this.
Yeah.
And too far away from that, because it's like mid-January.
Plus, we have other stuff slated for now between then.
And I'll be honest, I just didn't care about watching Against All Odds. It's a tournament.
Fair.
And it's like kind of an irrelevant tournament in my eyes. It's won by the Pope.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah. We're going to skip those pay-per-views, but we are going to be doing Sacrifice when we get to that in the TNA timeline.
Right.
But we have a couple stops to make before then.
Yes. So the next show that we're going to be reviewing on the Patreon, we're taking a step back into the butts in the cinema. And we're stepping back to the faff a little bit. And I'm finally watching The Marine.
Now, the first Marine.
The first Marine.
Okay. That said, I think the first three are individual movies and the ones after that are actually related.
Okay. I've never watched The Marine. I've heard about The Marine a lot. And I'm finally deciding, you know what? It's time.
I can't imagine it's going to be worse than Ready to Rumble.
I would hope not. I would really hope it's not worse than Ready to Rumble. But after The Marine, it's Nick's birthday month. So I have given him the ability to pick what he wants to watch.
And I still don't know.
We'll get there when we get there.
We'll announce it at the end of the Marine episode.
There we go.
So after my pick will be the second place in the poll, and then we're back to TNA.
Yeah, so like Nick said, we have a lot to stop through before we get back to TNA. But I'm excited. I think we have a good path ahead of us.
Agreed. Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I'll probably be peeking into the actual TNAs in between now and then.
If you want me to join you, I will gladly join you.
Something to watch while we're eating dinner.
All right, and with all of that said, I guess that brings us to the end. You already know where to find all of our episodes. You already know where to find all of
our... One of these days we'll figure out how to end these.
We never really know how to wrap it up because we have such a solid ending for the main podcast. We don't have one for the Patreon. But with all that said, thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing. And until next time, I'm Emily.
I'm Nick.
Thanks for listening to the Seats in the Butts podcast.
Bye.